Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 24th day of September, Anno Domini 2022. That's right, it's fall. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. But before we do that, yes, Dave Enright, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest. And that brings in the great and the near great, Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I figure I'm sick of it. You know, I got to get in here and check in on you guys, make sure you're doing all right. You know, not breaking any rules, laws, you know, things like that.
Yeah, so it's going to be a much more boring week than usual, folks.
Excellent.
But now that we know Rob is actually here in the studio, we know he doesn't ever listen.
Now.
He's graduated from center square to his own square.
Oh, on the video stream.
On the video stream, I gotcha.
Yeah, I was saying off the air that I look like a lawyer in that photo that you guys have chosen there. So I don't know.
That's your official radio station portrait.
Yeah.
And it's hanging on the wall out there.
I know. It does look like a law office with those photos out there.
But that's intimidating.
It's good to be here, though. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to be here. It's
absolutely
a joy. It's a joy and a thrill for us to know that you're awake and alive, and we're making you do something.
That's right.
All right. So Google is releasing a tool that makes it easier to remove search results containing your address, phone number, and other personally identifiable information, or as they call it, PII, personally identifiable information. It first revealed the Results About You feature at I.O. 2022 in May, describing it as a way to help you easily control whether your personally identifiable information can be found in search results. If you see a result with your phone number, home address, or email, you can click on the three-dot menu at the top right. That opens the usual About This Result panel, but it now contains a new Remove Result option at the bottom of the screen. A dialog states that if the result contains your address, phone number, or other personally identifiable information, Google can review your request more quickly. They do review all requests, but quickly is not a word you would use with those reviews. You can then monitor the request with a new menu item in the Google app called Results About You, available by tapping your user profile at the top right of the Google app. You can then monitor the progress of requests via filters All Requests, In Progress, or Approved. The same page also lets you make a new request with a why would you like to remove this result step. Options there include it shows my personal contact info. It shows my contact info with an intent to harm me. It shows other personal info. It contains illegal info and it's outdated. Previously, though, Google has said that not all requests may be granted. That is to say, particularly some outdated requests may not happen. The new feature has only rolled out to a limited number of users in the U.S. and Europe so far, so don't get excited if you don't see it yet. In the meantime, you can remove other personally identifiable information or doxing content from Google Search via a regular removal request. And I have a URL for that. I'll pass that to Steve in a minute. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google App helps remove personal info from searches. Your choices are... Finally, good idea. Who searches for me? How will trolls find me? And other. So far, we've got 19 votes. And so far, finally, is number one. And I know that many of you will have more to say about this, so you can head on over to our website. That's at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down in the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forum. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item under poll discussion is 24 Sep 22. Google App helps remove personal info from searches. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. As I said in the forum, I believe this is a response to the European Union, who just passed a whole bunch of laws about privacy on online and things you can and cannot do. And one of the things that they've been gigging Google for is the fact that they don't, there's no way to scrub you. They have a new right to be forgotten law. So if you go to a website and say, I want to be forgotten, remove everything about me, literally everything, they have to do that. Now, that causes a problem on things like forums, where you may have put posts.
Right. So it removes it only from Google search results. You still exist if you posted on that forum. One of the early cases was someone who committed a crime 20 years ago. And when you Google his name, the crime shows up.
Right.
But it was 20 years ago. He paid his debt. And, you know, should be clean up. So he was able to push this. I want those search results removed.
Right.
If you go to that paper's website yourself, you can still find it, but it's removed from the Google search results.
Right.
And my annoyance is everyone focuses on Google, but Bing and Yahoo and every search engine has to do this the same way, too.
Right. So you've got a lot of work to do if you really want to scrub yourself from the internet, and you better hope that every system operator at every system is willing to help you with that. So, for example, if you get yourself gone from Google search results and you've posted on Soundbites, someone could still come to Soundbites and find you. So you'd have to ask me to get rid of that stuff, and I may not because, you know, I don't care. But, yeah, well, the problem is very little software, most software that deals with web stuff, with database stuff, intertwines things. It's supposed to. It's a relational database. So if I remove your name, I then have to either write a program or, and possibly by hand, go through every table in the database and remove every instance that relates to you, that links back to your name, for example. That's very hard to do. And that's what people, that's what programmers have been struggling with ever since the European Union put out that rule. So it's not easy and it's not fast to get in compliance with that law, but. Although you're right, Steve, there are a lot of search engines. Mm-hmm. 90% of people use Google.
Yeah.
So getting it off of Google at least hides you from most people.
And there was also a couple of cases where newspapers were suing Google because Google like summarizes the news story in the first couple of sentences and then a link to the paper. And so the papers were saying, well, you're stealing our views, you know, so you can't include us in your new, in your search results. And that lasted a few months while the newspapers realized that now no one was coming to their website.
That's exactly right.
So, okay, you can include us back in your search results, please. Please.
Yep. What you have to know is what an incredibly huge powerhouse Google is. They're just, it's kind of ridiculous how thoroughly they've taken over the web. You know, Google is now a verb. Oh, go Google that. Nobody says go Bing that. Nobody says go DuckDuckGo that.
I've heard go Bing that, and it doesn't sound at all right.
You know, you may have heard it on a television show where Microsoft paid somebody to say it.
Yeah, that's probably likely. You can always tell when you can see the logo on the computer, you know it's a paid product endorsement.
Right.
And when you can see the post-it note covering the logo, you know it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. you could see every once in a while you go to a television. Oh, the one with Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu.
Elementary.
They would bring up, you know, they would get their Microsoft Surface.
Yeah.
and they would say, oh, well, I found this on the web. And then they show the home screen, and then they show them going to Bing, and they show them typing it in. Yeah, yeah.
Hawaii 5.0 was like that. They had that giant Surface table, and they'd always set their tablet, their Surface tablets down so the camera could see the logo.
Right.
And then they'd do whatever they needed on the Surface table and then fling it up to the big screen.
Yep.
And we get people asking us all the time, how do I fling my image up to the big screen? You don't. You go up to the menu and click cast and pick your television.
Right, exactly. Same thing with, people would say
that.
I'm going to be getting up and sitting down a lot.
You got to understand, I'm starting to get a little old, so I got to stand up, get the blood flowing, so I'm going to be standing up, sitting down.
We have Rob Linton here in the studio today.
So do you want your crotch or do you want the top of your head? I got to keep moving the camera.
I'm thinking the second option might be best. This is a family show, you know.
Oh, that's news to me. Oh dear. Oh, dear. I have to change some things immediately. But Rob is sitting in for Dave, so we're delighted to have him. He had me say, I'm contractually obligated to say that. So, so let's see if he can make the phones work. Our first caller is Wayne from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
What's up?
I'm in Linux right now.
Uh-huh.
And what I want to do is I want to change to a different distro.
Sure.
And in the process, I also need to increase probably my root directory or my root partition.
Right.
Okay. And basically, I got partitions set up for root, swap, home, and boot.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what I'm thinking about doing is when I go to put the OS in, do I just go over to my root directory and it'll put it in automatically, or do I have to physically have to do that?
Well, are you overwriting the current distro, or are you adding to it?
I am overwriting it.
Well, then you really don't have to do anything. If what you're looking to do is essentially wipe out your machine and start over.
Yes.
Okay, then what you do is you boot up the new distro on your thumb drive or CD-ROM drive, depending on how old your machine is.
Right.
And then in the choices for almost every modern distro is one of the choices will be erase the disk. And you pick that one, and then it will do all of that for you.
Make sure you have a backup of any data you want to keep first.
Right.
Yes, I did that. I got that on a thumb drive.
There you go. Then as long as you verified that update, that backup rather, then all you have to do is when you go to install it, read your screens carefully. One of them will say install beside whatever you've got now. Another option will be erase the hard drive. So pick that one. And then you'll get a warning that says, you know, you're about to erase everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, yes, I know that. I can read.
Should he change the partition sizes first or second?
No, because it will truly erase the drive.
Oh, and make all new partitions.
Make new partitions.
Okay.
Right. So then I get to specify the size of my partitions again.
Right. It'll resize everything.
Okay.
But just for your information, there is a program called DISKS, DISKS. And what distribution are you going to be running?
I'm currently running Ubuntu, and I'm going to be going to Mint.
Mint. I think they have the same names. Ubuntu calls it DISKS.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually titled GNOME DISKS or something like that. But it's a graphical disk manipulator. So in that, you can format disks, erase disks, change partition sizes, do everything.
Okay.
So if you need to do that in the future, that's the program you use. But if what you're doing truly is wiping out one distribution and replacing it with another, the easiest thing to do is to just do that. Just as you are installing the new one, tell it erase the disk and go.
Okay. Now, when I go to take my archive set of files, I CD to home.
Yes.
Make a directory for my name and copy it there.
Well, theoretically, Mint will do that for you. So what you should be able to do once you have booted up Mint and you're in the graphical user interface.
Right.
You should be able to go to your home directory, which is /home/your name.
Okay.
So you're there already. And then that's in one window. And in the other window, you know, plug in your thumb drive and it'll come up in another window. And then you can just drag everything over.
I see. Okay. So that shouldn't really be a problem either.
No, it really shouldn't. Once you've got the graphical user interface running, then it's just literally a drag and drop.
Okay, great. That sounds like a good situation.
That's what I like to hear, a good situation.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wayne. Have fun. Yeah, we're seeing more and more people playing around with Linux. It's a terrific operating system, and particularly if you have a secondary or older machine with a decent amount of power, it's a pretty cool thing to play around with.
Now, why would you want to switch distros? Just to play with a different
one? To play
one?
With.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing, and there are people who prefer a more Windows-like experience,
mm-hmm.
and some distributions cater to that. I almost said pander, and I apologize. I don't need the phone calls. Send your nasty emails to Rob Linton.
You know, I was just thinking back. I don't know if I've ever gotten any complaint emails about you.
Well, I've got a filter on your email.
Excellent.
There are, I'm clearly not trying hard enough, clearly. But yeah, so there are people who prefer a more Windows-like experience, and there are distributions that cater to that. There are people who prefer a more Mac-like experience, and there are distributions that cater to that. And then there are people who prefer a more Linux-like experience or roll their own. You know, in most Linux distributions, you can change everything about your distribution. On this one, I've changed the colors, the decoration around the windows, the icons, where the panels are. I've added panels. I've made it work the way I want to work. So I click here, I click there, I can do things.
There used to be a Mac program that would do that. And the story is Apple came down on them because Apple wants a consistent look and feel across all computers. You sit down to someone else's computer, it looks exactly like yours.
Yeah.
Which I can see the advantages of that. It makes it easy for a new person who gets a new computer. It looks exactly the. But for those of us that want to customize like that, we should be able to.
You should be able to, and I think that's the point behind Linux. It's your computer. Do what you want with it. And there's a whole place that a site on the web where you can upload your desktop, show people what it looks like. Mostly we get anime backgrounds. But sometimes people actually put up really interesting looking configurations. But that's the kind of thing that you can do on Linux. And yes, you can change your color scheme in Windows and on the Mac and, you know, a couple of things like that. But
your highlight color.
Your highlight color. But you can change dang near everything about Linux. Depends on the program. Some programs don't do that. They just do what they do, but you don't have to run those programs. There are equivalents. So you can make your machine look and feel exactly the way you want it to. It's always fun. Almost always when you see a non-Windows or non-Mac desktop on a movie or television show, they created it in Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always. Because it's easy to do and it's fast. And there are websites, gnome-look.org and xfce-look.org, kde-look.org for all the major desktops that have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new themes and icon sets and all that stuff.
That's
Rob just got older, sitting right there. He just aged another 10 years.
That's why we borrow someone else's chair.
I could not control the chair. It was like, oh my goodness.
You can pick the look you like. You can make the system look the way you want it to look, right down to every new icons. You can change. I've seen some weird. Every time a new science fiction movie comes out, somebody makes an icon set that mimics all the whatevers on that movie.
I think that may be what tipped Apple over the edge years ago, when someone had, you know, like an orange menu bar with green lettering on it, just made something so horribly ugly, and we don't want to be associated with that.
When I was working for a living, as opposed to now apparently working for free, when I was working for a living, we had a colorblind person who I supported, and her desktop was by far the ugliest, most horrifying thing I have ever seen in my life. The colors clashed, were horrendous, were terrible, but it was absolutely the best for her type of colorblindness to see everything clearly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I dreaded when I saw her number come up on my phone. I'm going to have to go look at that again.
I was really intrigued. Dennis talking about that Dasung monitor, e-ink monitor last week. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it really does. But it's not a quick refresh. It takes a half a second or so. And it's a long time, folks. That's a long time to do refresh. I don't honestly know how you write or do really anything major with that. I mean, e-ink tablets are excellent for wall hanging stuff, a calendar, the time and temperature. So if it takes a half a second to change, who cares?
If you're reading text pages. Now, we had
e-books.
Customer who was a x-rayologist.
Sure.
Whatever, yeah. Radiologist. And
there you go.
So he had this super high resolution medical monitor. It was like $30,000.
Oh yeah,
for a 24-inch monitor, but it was black and white only. It was tuned for X-rays,
right?
So it could get all
it was grayscale.
Grayscale, yeah, but no color. You could have gray or other gray or other gray.
Right.
But $30,000 for a grayscale monitor seemed outrageous.
Yeah, right.
And then he brings up an X-ray on. Oh my God, that's so crisp and clear.
Yep.
And that's what you need to see. And now the same thing with CAT scans and MRIs, where you're going layer by layer by layer. You got to see the next micron down, literally.
Yeah, literally. And so that's useful for that. But for a home machine, you pick your colors. You pick your decoration around the screen. You pick everything yourself. Yep. And it's very, very cool to be able to do that. But... and again, there are a lot of people who don't care about that stuff. They just want to get on their machine, do their thing, get off their machine, move on to something else. I get that. But we definitely have the ability as Linux users to truly personalize our systems. You can even change the name of commands if you like. There was never mind, I'm not going to go into that. But there are distributions that do that, change the basic command names for various reasons. And there's a lot of that stuff going around. There's just amazing number of things you can do. All right. That music tells us it is time for a quick break. Don't go too far, though, because we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Steve wasn't sure where he was for a moment.
Well, I'm third. I'm waiting for Dave. Oh, that's not Dave.
Right. All right. Don't forget, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. While I read the next news item, Google Chrome and Microsoft Edge both come with advanced spell check tools. And not enough of you are using them. But because they are advanced, that is to say they can help you with more than just spell check, they do all of the things. All the processing for things like grammar and language suggestions happen on their servers, Google's and Microsoft servers. These services are transferring basically anything you write in plain text to Google and Microsoft servers, including passwords, when you click the show password button. That's right.
Well, that's convenient.
It's convenient. Sure, this is Google and Microsoft we're talking about. They're big companies that theoretically at least take privacy seriously and aren't interested in hacking your Dropbox account. That said, this is still a glaring oversight and a bad thing for user privacy. According to the same report, password managers like LastPass have already released a fix, but that doesn't solve the browser's problem. Thankfully, these features aren't enabled by default, so if you use your browser as it comes, you should be safe. However, if you are using Chrome's enhanced spell check feature or the Microsoft editor in Edge, you need to disable them right away. So, are you spewing your passwords all over the internet? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. And just so you know, in Chrome, you go to the menu, then settings, then languages to turn on and off the enhanced spell check feature. And on Edge, it's an add-on called Microsoft Editor. So if you haven't added it, you're fine. But that's a pretty egregious problem. If they're sending that stuff in plain text and you're sitting in a coffee shop somewhere, that could be a problem.
So,
you need to be aware of that. You need to be aware of the fact that while these things are there to help you, they can also be a problem. So, much as I encourage everybody to use a grammar and spell checker, I have to say you should probably turn it off when you're doing stuff not in the privacy of your own home. And these things are web-based things, right? So if you're writing something in LibreOffice or on Google Docs or in Microsoft Documents or in Pages, then no, that this doesn't count. This doesn't, it's not for those. It's for when you're on the web and you're typing your frothy little rant in Facebook, and you get all those annoying little red underlines as you misspell things and have no idea what you're actually saying. And the theory is they would correct you. You're ignoring them anyway, so your best bet is to turn off the spell checker because it's it might be sending stuff that you don't want to be sent.
Yeah, it's always interesting. Every convenient thing that comes up, just about people find some way to exploit it for nefarious purposes. And so we had a customer this week who got tricked by one of the malware pop-ups. And they got into his bank account. They got into he let them into his computer, and so he decided he's going to stop using password managers because of the autofill, and that's how the bad guys got into his bank. Because once they were into his computer,
right?
He thought they were tech support, so he went to bed and left them in there.
Oh no!
Yeah,
no. And well, so tech support is never going to call you.
Yeah.
Well, that's not entirely true. But it's
unless you call them first and get in the queue. I've seen a lot of tech supports do that. You go in the queue, hang up, and then they call you back.
Right, right.
Which is tricky because fake tech support calls you too. So right. It's really hard to tell the difference.
Right.
But autofill let the bad guys go to his bank pages and autofilled his password in. There, in the early days of autofill, there was an exploit where a bad guy could, especially formatted website, where, you know, autofill for credit card number was off the bottom of the screen, so you didn't see it, but your browser conveniently filled it all in for you. So when you fill in your name and address or whatever you wanted to fill in, way down at the bottom, it filled in your credit card number too.
Right. Mine, with Google Chrome, at least nowadays, when you go to fill in your credit card number, it asks you for the three digits on the back.
Yep.
It won't put it in until you put that in.
So. Well, that's a security checksum. If it asks for your zip code, that's another security checksum.
Right.
If it asks for your house number, that's another one. If a website doesn't ask for any of that, don't use it.
Exactly.
Because they have no credit card security.
Right, right. So you need to at least know that one of the – it may come up. It may be right in the – in the form,
yep.
But it's going to be somewhere, and you should do that. There are far too many instances these days of people trying to steal your information, and they want your money, they want your logins, they want everything they can get their hands on. When I was teaching, I would always tell my students, you know, you got to be aware of this stuff, and every one of them would say, I don't have anything worth stealing, and I would say, you've got two things. You've got a computer that's on the fastest internet in the country. But more importantly, you have an absolutely pristine credit rating. Imagine how important that is.
Yep.
You know, I think of how much money you could borrow tomorrow. And that's how much money the bad guys would borrow that you
tomorrow.
Could be on the hook for.
Or today even.
Today, right now, right.
And then,
exactly.
Yep, and then it's gone.
So, you know, what you may think you have nothing worth stealing, you know, who steals my purse steals trash. But the fact is that you do have stuff worth stealing and you may not even think about it. If nothing else, you've got hard disk space that I can store stuff on, illegal stuff. And then if you get caught, I don't care. Doesn't mean a thing to me. You have to explain why you've got that illegal stuff on your computer. And that ain't necessarily easy. I've been in a couple of court cases.
Witness?
No,
Special expert.
The expert.
Witness.
Another word, but yeah, the expert witness, yeah.
For prosecution or defense or both?
Both. I've done both. And the reality is, it's hard to say this was put on by somebody else. It's hard to say that.
Yep.
Because if they get in under your ID, mm-hmm. then those files are linked to your ID.
Right. So a lot of bad guys, the big scam has always been gift cards, especially iTunes gift cards.
Right.
People are getting a little more educated about that. Clerks at stores are now questioning when you're buying a lot of gift cards if it's real or not. I've seen signs at the gift card kiosks saying that gift cards are for gifts. If someone wants payment in gift cards, they're scamming you. So now a lot of the bad guys are moving to getting your checking account numbers and your routing numbers because it's much, much harder to get your money back from a checking account transfer than it is from a credit card number you can dispute. And if you buy a gift card, you read them the numbers, the money's gone and no store can give you back the money from a gift card because it's already gone and they can't get it back themselves.
Right. So now the other thing that they're now doing is a lot of sites come up with Google or Microsoft or other companies credential things where you go to log into a website and it says, okay, go to your phone.
Yeah.
And the Google app will come up and say, is this you? And you click yes. So they'll say, all right, we're tech support and we're doing this for you. So
yep.
When the thing comes up, say yes.
And now they've bypassed two-factor and are in your account because they sent it, not the good guys.
Right. And then now what last thing I did that with Google was they actually now show a number on this. They show a mm-hmm. number on your phone and then you have to pick that number on the screen.
Yeah.
So if somebody asks you for that number, do not give it to them. Yeah.
And it sometimes picks the virtual Android phone that I used to play a game 2 years ago with.
Yeah.
So now I got to remember to go take that off my account. Yep. Big thing, Matt, you know, Google, Android, Mac and iOS, when you change devices, make sure you take that old device off your account so it doesn't keep sending codes to the old device.
Right.
If someone else is using it, or you know, heaven forbid, it asks you for a code that's only on that device you don't have anymore.
Right, right. So yeah, you can do that on pretty much every system. That they will somewhere along the line, they will show you a list of your devices, and any device you no longer have or no longer use. I mean, over the years, you know, whenever I set up a thing for somebody, I'm first I log in as me, and then I wipe me out and, you know, move it along. So I've got probably 40 or 50 Chromebooks, a couple of dozen phones. I take them off, but I had them at one point. Well, I don't know what Apple thinks, what Google thinks of me.
You know what's interesting is text messaging is getting worse with the scams,
yep.
Right? You know, we've dealt with emails for how long, but now we're dealing with text messages.
Yep.
Really official-looking text messages. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people probably get in trouble that way, too.
Well, yeah, the thing is, particularly young folks, yep. All they do is text.
It's text, yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not going to catch you with an email. I'm not going to scam you with an email because mm-hmm. you don't do email.
Right.
So I have to scam you with mm-hmm. a text message. And in fact, it's easier to scam because you only got 140 character, whatever the number is, 280
now, I guess.
280, no, that's Twitter. I don't know what it is. I know what it is, but I can't think of it. So you only have a certain number of characters, so, and it's all text. So, you know, this is your bank.
Click
send
on
us
this
your routing
link.
Number.
Well, click on
click
this link.
Link. Yeah. Click on the link.
Or it's a bit.ly shortcut, so you can't see what the real link is.
That's right. That's right.
Right. So be aware that those kind of scams are out there all the time. And the one I've been getting all week long is thank you for your order.
Yep.
We've charged your account $1,500. If you dispute that, click here.
Or any questions, click here.
Or any questions, yeah, click here.
So it's more innocuous. So, I didn't make a purchase. I better tell them.
Yeah.
Without looking at your account to see if it got billed.
And that's what you really should do. When you get one of those, look at your bank account. Every bank lets you log in now. You should have that set up. Go to your bank account, log in, and see if indeed somebody hit you for $1,500. If they didn't, it's a scam. If they did, either you made that purchase or you tell the bank you didn't make that purchase.
And there's something more wrong because they got your credit card or banking information.
Right. Well, you know, it's getting a little better, but every day we hand our credit cards to the lowest paid employees in the world.
Now, in Europe, it's very common for them to bring the reader to the table.
Right.
Which is starting to happen here. A few restaurants I've been to have been doing that.
Yeah. I did that yesterday. I drove through somewhere and held out my phone. And
yeah.
Girl said,
and you can almost see the exasperation on their face when they have to reach in and get the reader to stretch it out the window.
Well, she didn't like that. And then she said, "What is this?" I said, it's a phone.
Yeah.
You're 16. You don't know what a phone is?
And you don't know what
a
mobile payment.
Yeah. They're not listening. So,
Rumspringa.
It's Rumspringa. That's true. You know it was a joke. But basically, so she says, "What is it?" I said, "It's a phone." She said, "Well, what thing are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing Google Pay." She said, "We don't take Google Pay." I said, "It's Apple Pay." She said, "Okay." Of course it went through. It's just tap to pay.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Apple Pay. They call it Google Pay. They call it... It's just tap to pay.
NFC.
But somebody told her, you know, what we do Apple Pay. Okay, this is Apple Pay on my Google phone. Fine.
Yeah.
So...
Well, you know what's interesting, too, is how many people actually look at your bank statements every day? I do. My credit cards, my bank statements, every morning.
My wife used to make fun of me for doing that.
Yeah, every single day.
Half the time it was a receipt she forgot to give me.
Right. the bank account, your credit cards, all that kind of stuff.
And your PayPal.
Well, I don't use PayPal.
What?
That's like so 20 years ago.
I don't care. I make money on PayPal.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't. I'm still old fashioned. Yeah, I want to go buy something. I use a credit card. My credit card.
My
well, when you're buying things on random websites, it's sometimes safer to use PayPal than it is to put your credit card number into a random website.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So that's the main reason I do it. And it was I tried doing the one that starts with an S.
Square?
Square. And it was a screw up at their end. They've admitted it's a screw up at their end, but they owe me a couple $100 and they've never paid it. So I don't use Square anymore.
Well, they were big for the reader you could carry with you so people could pay you.
My wife does it all the time at Market. She has Square. She has both the standalone little thing you hand somebody, the Bluetooth one, and the one that plugs into the phone. Mm-hmm. So she does that all day long. It works great. Square is a great product. They screwed up with me. They know it's their screw up, and they've never paid me. So I don't use Square anymore. Right. So I use PayPal. And if you join my newsletter, unsolicited plug. If you join my newsletter, it's you do it through PayPal.
Well, PayPal's been around forever too, so it's got a level of trust with it and that kind of thing. And everybody's doing Venmo and Cash App and everything else now.
Right.
Well, and they're getting sneaky because they're buying each other. So PayPal bought Venmo. They?
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
And so at our company, we try to avoid taking credit cards because of the credit card processing fees.
Absolutely.
We have to pass that on to the customers now. We joke that New York State makes 8%. We make 3%.
Right.
Credit card company takes 3% on top of that. And so we have to pass that credit card fee on to our customers, which a lot of stores are doing now. So we are trying to encourage Venmo. We used to do PayPal, but then PayPal started charging a fee.
Venmo doesn't do business, though.
Right. Well, they do. If they consider it a commercial transaction, they'll charge a fee. If it's a personal transaction, they don't.
So they don't tell them.
Yeah.
Right, but you cannot, because we looked into doing that here for Pledge Drive. Yeah,
you put it in, it's in our company owner's name.
In a company owner's name.
Right.
Which I'm pretty sure I'd break all kinds of laws if I did that here.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
No, but you think about it. What point are they going to branch off into nonprofit world or business world? Because everybody's doing, even if you charge just a little bit, it's better than what we have to pay for that terminal in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Banks.
I agree with that.
Even if you buy your own terminal. So we've bought our own terminal. We've had negotiations with different banks. People come in and say, I can save you 3%. It's bad.
Yeah. It's. We pay just for the luxury of having that terminal sit in the office.
Yep.
Right.
We joke about in our next business, we want to be a credit card processor.
That's right.
We have no equipment because you make them buy it. We have no employees because it's all done on the computer.
That's right.
We take money from you, keep a little bit for ourselves, and pass the rest on to you.
Right. And although you only keep a little bit of it, you keep a little bit of a couple of $100 billion.
Yeah.
So that's not so bad. Yeah, I do. I do PayPal, and they take 3.5%.
It's about average.
Well, there was PayPal just started something new. They will take a percent and give you a guarantee when you're paying somebody you don't know. But if you're paying friends and family, no fee.
Right. Right.
So you say it's the friends and family. There's no fee, but then there's no guarantee, and you'll never get your money back if there's a problem.
Right. So I use my daughter. My daughter pays me for her piece of the phone bill. And she does that through Google Pay because there's no transaction fee.
Mm-hmm.
But almost everything else she does with cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's money, not the Cash App.
Right.
Which is owned by Square.
Right.
Which is unheard of. Everybody's like, what's your Venmo? What's your Venmo? You going out to dinner? Okay, I'll send you $10 over for dinner on Venmo. What's your Venmo?
Well, because a lot of restaurants don't want to split checks.
No.
Because that's a pain. So one person has to pay for everything.
Right.
But now, this year is the first year that they will be sending out tax forms.
Right.
Which is interesting, right? So a lot of businesses that used to get away with taking payment via Venmo and Cash App, not so fast anymore.
The users group did that. When your tax payment is so much, then you're above the reporting threshold. We got annoyed because we're a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. So why are you reporting anything to the IRS? We don't pay taxes.
That's right.
Right.
But so this form that we don't pay taxes has to match this other form that we don't pay taxes.
But the problem is for you still got to register to an individual, right? You don't have it registered to the users group.
We're incorporated 501c3. We have our own tax ID number.
No. I mean on the Venmo or Cash App. When you created that account, it's not in the business name.
It's basically it is with the business email address.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And the business address.
See, again, and that's another thing that I think they're losing out on so much if they just crossed over to the business world.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Well, they're so entrenched. Especially Square is really pushing itself into small businesses. So they have the really cute terminals available. Not needing to have a full-blown credit card terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to have customers see their order as they type it in. We've got a couple of customers that have one of the dual screen Square point of sale terminals. Mm-hmm. So the customer can see it too. Now the thing going around is that you can turn on tipping in the payment system. And so people are getting asked to put tips in for everything. So when you go to a takeout restaurant to pick up your order, do you tip them? If it was a waitress that served you, you definitely would.
Absolutely.
But the people in the back had to make everything and hand it to you. Do you still tip them?
So that's not new, though.
That's not new, right? And that goes back to the whole
it's more in your face.
Right. It's in your face versus them handing you a receipt with a tip line on it that you can ignore.
Right.
Right.
And that goes back to we should pay wait staff what they're worth and not, $2.95 an hour is legal minimum wage?
Yeah,
for wait staff? Yeah.
Because they make it up in tips. And if you're a great waiter, you're screwed. In the right kind of restaurant, you will do very, very well. I was a waiter in a restaurant in New York, and I raked it in. You worked hard.
Yeah.
But you raked it in.
Yeah.
But most places don't. That most places don't. It's now far more in your face than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to sign the little screen, one of the choices is how much is the tip.
Right.
Yep.
And you don't want to hit zero.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing when you use apps like Grubhub and things like that.
Yeah, there's been a big thing about Uber Eats and the delivery drivers.
They hardly get any of it.
Right. The payment for the service is pretty low anyway, so they rely completely on tips. So there's been a big thing about how low a tip you put on, and then the driver may not even bother delivering it. He may cancel the order because your tip was too low.
Right.
And it's not worth his gas money.
Or if they do give them cash.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep. And of course, we always say give them cash because then they don't have to report it. That's illegal, of course. Oh, is it? Yeah. I don't know that it's illegal.
If it's below a certain income threshold, you don't have to report it.
That's exactly right. And it probably often is. All right. That music tells us that you have wasted an entire hour of your life listening to this nonsense. I don't know what's wrong with you, but I can fairly well predict that you're going to do it again. And we're going to give you that opportunity because we're going to take a slightly longer break. But we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites. We're going to have Steve Ray. We're going to have Rob Linton. And we're going to have me, Nick Francesco. And we hope we'll have you, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. It's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Sound Bites. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 96. We've finally driven Rob out of the studio. Okay, now we can talk about the real stuff.
Oh, here it comes.
give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. For those of you who are just tuning in, I didn't let you guys announce yourselves this time. I don't know why
yeah,
I was doing
it. Yeah, we did.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. and I got it right this time.
Okay.
That's what threw you off.
That's what threw me off. I get an automatic pilot, and I don't know what happened next or last.
Yeah, no more reading that script. I'm not reading anything.
I don't read the script. This is the news item.
He's a trained actor. He doesn't need to read the script.
I don't need to read the script. I ad-lib everything. Ask anybody who ever worked with me.
And you ad-lib it exactly the same way every time.
Every time. Once you've got it, you've got it. All right, so you can give us a call, of course, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. While I read the next news item, some users of the iPhone 14 Pro Max are reporting that the phone is making grinding noises and vibrating while they try to take photos with third-party apps like Snapchat and TikTok. And, of course, TikTok is the only reason many people have a phone, severely distorting the camera images and, in some cases, damaging the camera's hardware. The issue doesn't appear to be universal, but Mac Rumors, The Guardian, and some YouTubers have documented the phenomenon. Apple has acknowledged the issue and plans to release a fix next week. The distortion and vibration are most likely being caused by the camera's optical image stabilization gyroscope, which, when working normally, corrects for shaking and hand motion so that the camera can take in a bit more light without taking blurry images, although the iPhone cameras do feature a kind of optical zoom. It's achieved using different physical lenses rather than one lens with mechanical parts that physically zoom it in and out.
Looks like they did release the update, 16.0.2.
Oh, it's already out? Excellent. Yeah. So now that they've released the fix, you should try to refrain from using the camera in those apps until you've installed it, allowing the iOS gyroscope to grind for extended periods of time could damage the camera. And Apple specifically warns against attaching iPhones to motorcycle or other things that vibrate excessively. They've given you something you carry around with you 24 hours a day, and they don't want you to shake it.
Well, don't shake it too much.
So don't put it in your pocket if you're twerking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Don't try to take a video of you driving down the street shaking in your car or motorcycle because you're going to overwhelm the stabilizer.
Right. When possible, shooting photos or videos with a built-in camera and then uploading or importing them to your third-party app of choice is a workaround until you do the installation. But don't wait. Update now if you haven't done it already. If you do experience hardware damage as a result of this bug, you should be able to get your phone repaired or replaced under warranty. In addition, some users are complaining about excessive cut and paste prompts. iOS 16 introduced a new privacy feature that requires apps to receive a user's permission before accessing their iPhone's clipboard to paste text from other apps. But some users have experienced an issue that causes the prompt to appear excessively. Apple planned to address this issue in the same update, so I'm assuming that that's now available as well.
Possibly, yeah. Let me see the update history.
So, is your iPhone 14 Pro Max grinding? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Yes. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, the copy and paste issue was also addressed.
Good.
How does it decide? When you want to copy something, it asks you for permission to read the clipboard. How does it decide if it needs to ask you or not? So if it asks you every time, that's annoying.
Right.
But if it doesn't ask you
often enough,
then right. a bad program can get it.
Right. So I suppose if I ask you once and you say yes, then for the time you're using that app.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
And if is there a way to tell whether it's a user-triggered copy option or a program triggered copy option?
If you can, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. That's a very interesting point. Because once I've said yes to a copy, and some malicious program then yep. tries to copy something.
Yeah, there have been several Windows viruses and bug bug reports where it would read the contents of your clipboard and wait for you to go to a bank and then copy your password from your password manager and paste it in, or copy your Bitcoin wallet number and grab it out of the clipboard.
Yeah. Bitcoin not doing all that well. Cryptocurrency in general not doing
yeah.
all that well.
Yep.
Recently, I got to say, not doing well at all, quite frankly. But yeah. So look, if you've got an iPhone, particularly we're talking about the Pro 14 Max, 14 Pro Mac, Pro. Mix those numbers, words together, do something with them.
Not 14.
The 14.
Yeah.
Make sure you get the update. You know, we talk about this all the time. On the one hand, pioneers, blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, you know, often an update fixes a truly egregious problem, error, for example, or problem with insecure apps, et cetera, et cetera. And so you really need to do that update. So when it's something like this, the big thing to do is to do that update, get it in there and make sure you've got it figured out, because that's not a thing you want to mess around with. If you've got a Max 14 Pro and you're damaging your stuff, that's a very bad thing. So make sure you get that update installed and working properly. And in the meantime, we're going to head back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Rochester, New York. What's up, Ed?
Hi. I don't know if you gentlemen talked about this last week. Forgive me, I didn't hear the show. But
what?
In terms of LastPass, yeah, really, I don't know, my fault. LastPass, you know, with their notice that they got hacked. My question is, what in the world are we supposed to do for protection if, you know, somebody like LastPass gets hacked?
Well, there are a couple of things. The first thing is programs like LastPass and Pass generally encrypt the information on your computer. They store it at their computer so that you can open it on multiple devices, but it's encrypted to your password on your device. So although they could get certain information, the likelihood that they got your information would require them also getting your password.
Or you having a weak password that they can brute force.
Exactly. So if your password is weak, or it's the same password you used on other things, that's bad. That's why we say all passwords should be strong and unique. So strong means a minimum of 8 characters, and it should be probably 14 these days. In uppercase, lowercase, numbers, symbols, all of that stuff. And that's what makes a complex and strong password. Now, it doesn't have to be gobbledygop 18 exclamation point 43 left elbow. It can be, you know, we talk about 4 different words, horse, battery, staple, something, right? But you can say horse 34 battery exclamation point. See what I'm saying? So it can be words that you can remember interspersed with numbers and symbols that you can remember. But again, with programs like LastPass and EndPass, you can have it generate passwords in any length you like.
Right.
So
right.
I tend to have it generate 64 character passwords.
I got I took your advice a long time ago. I got some weird incongruous phrase in there that I don't think anybody in this brother would guess, because there's no connection between the two.
Good.
They might, but they may just made me run something forever, you know, but right. It's just okay, I saw that it gave me a little start when I got that message that they had been hacked. I said, wait a minute. You know, right. I'm thinking then you're bald, you're screwed. So, okay, well, that's good to know that they're at least, you know, they can't. They always give you sort of a disclaimer at the end of, now we know, blah, 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 that your Social Security number's safe and this is safe and so on. So it looks like almost an obligatory tagline they put onto that whenever they have
right.
to. Okay, good. All right, that's good to know. Thanks, Nick.
Yep, thanks, Ed. So, yeah, the important thing to remember there is that your password list is encrypted on your machine. So when you go to save it somewhere else, it's saved pre-encrypted. So nobody else sees the plain text. The more important part of that is that the encryption is based on your password. So a stronger, longer password, stronger, longer encryption. So, and a password, obviously, then the only way they're going to get in is to guess your password. So, you know, if your password is trust no one, then you're going to have a problem.
Which is very high on the password leak list.
Very high. And trust me, trust no and the number one isn't any better.
Yep.
In fact, it's two characters worse. And, you know, 123456, that's the password on your luggage.
Well, I was going to say, whenever I hear you talking about that, I immediately think of Spaceballs.
Only an idiot would make that his password.
That's right.
Wow, that's the password on my luggage. Be aware that there are a lot of ways that you can get hacked, but most of them are your fault. Quite honestly, most of them. You all right?
No, I just got into that camera.
Oh, nice.
I'll show you how to make it so you can move it.
Pen tilt zoom. I got it.
Too many toys for him.
You got it?
Yeah.
How did you crack that?
I'm good. Okay. I told you I used to rep that brand.
Right. Well, good. I'm glad.
Did you think this was the smooth jazz hour?
That's true. That is true.
Now I'm going to feed it into OBS. That's going to be the tricky bit.
No, it's not. I gave it a RSP thing.
Yeah.
Done. That's how you do. Right in there.
Yep. I want to do it after the show. So we do it.
Yeah, right.
No,
right.
I can play during the show.
Why not? Add as many cameras as you can.
You know, that's the program. Yeah, that's the program we use when we do the concerts and stuff. And I got the address right there. We have it for everybody's listening right now. We have cameras built into the studio for different jazz things and stuff. Yet every week, Steve brings in this mobile truck of cameras and everything else. I said, Steve, tie into the cameras we have. And he's finally doing it now.
So you finally gave me the address. we finally both hear it at the same time.
That's right,
and
right.
We thought about it at the same time.
That's right.
So for those of you who don't know about this stuff, Steve is running OBS, the Open Broadcast System, on his
fantastic
Mac.
Program, by the way, that's free.
Utterly free.
Unbelievable what you can do with it.
What doesn't it do?
I know. It's actually designed, I think, by broadcasters who understand what a program like that needs to do.
And they make it do everything it needs to do.
Yeah. Well, we do our live concerts. We've got a couple little robotic cameras we put around it. It does. You could do crawls. You could do bugs. You could do all kinds of different things on it.
Yeah. And so Steve sets up, I don't know, 40, 44 cameras.
And that's what we broadcast onto YouTube and Facebook and Twitch.
Yeah. Right. So he broadcasts that.
You guys are using
Twitch? Yeah.
We get like two people a week.
I was going to say, is Twitch still a thing? I feel like Twitch was something for like 5-10 minutes, wasn't it, during the pandemic?
Well if you're a game player, it's still a big thing.
I gotcha. Okay.
And it's one more link. That's all you have to do is set up the link.
Wait, gaming with why gaming with Twitch? Because it makes it, explain.
It's people review other people playing a game.
People review
you
other
watch you watch someone play the game.
And you review them.
Yeah.
Or you just watch them.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a thing.
There's a big thing about speed running in games. Mm. How fast can you complete the game? And then with a minimal number of weapons and the maximum amount of difficulty.
Yeah, there's a person now you can pay. I forget what the game is, but there's a person you can pay to kill the big bad at the end. And they come in naked with no weapons and kill them. And you can pay them.
Interesting. Well, I feel like the reason why I bring up Twitch is I feel like a lot of people utilize that during the pandemic for maybe broadcast from your basement. You've got a band coming over to the house or something like that. Like I feel like a lot of people did that. And then many of them moved over to YouTube.
Well, Twitch got bought by somebody big, too.
Yeah.
And now they've started doing full television shows are available now, and just like you know, YouTube TV, Amazon TV, Hulu TV, now have their own original content.
We do everything with YouTube. When we stream our concerts, we're doing it on YouTube, but we're also, the nice thing about the OBX or OBS program or whatever, you can do it, you know, we also do it to Facebook.
Yeah. Because it's like a generational issue. That's the other thing, too. If you can feed it to Instagram and TikTok, then you can get the younger kids.
And that's what we'd love to do.
Yeah.
So you can do Twitch, which is all younger people as well.
Right, right. Well, what's interesting is Facebook, you have to be careful, right? Like, it will pull down our concerts if I am feeding it the radio station beforehand.
Even though you're licensed, they don't know that.
Even though I'm licensed,
We get takedown notices every week or so.
Right, but they won't. So I have to keep it muted until the concert literally starts, because a musician could be playing a copyright-protected song, but because they're putting their own spin on it, the Facebook filters are not catching it.
We get YouTube takedowns from the 10 or 15 seconds of music bumps here. And it's always funny when I get the takedown notice. It says, you know, from 121.13 to 121.17, you had a copyright violation.
Right.
4 seconds?
Yes. Yep. I always thought you got 8 seconds.
Yeah, it depends.
Before copyright violation.
All I'm saying is the amount of money that we pay.
Right. We are licensed to stream music.
The amount of money that the checks that we have to cut every single year just for the luxury of playing music here. It's mind-blowing.
But there's no way to tell YouTube that.
There's no way to tell YouTube that. It's like, can I send you a copy of something? It's, you know.
Right.
You have to dispute each claim individually.
It's ridiculous. But there it is. Our next caller, Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Good afternoon, guys. I got a gripe. Lately, within the last 6 months or so, I've been having problems with my Wi-Fi, cuts out, what have you. So I actually got a notification from, Spectrum, saying that they saw a problem with my cable or something. So after about a month, I called. Guy came out a couple of weeks ago, replaced the cable line from the connection in the back all the way to the house, did not replace the actual line going into the house. Even replaced both the Wi-Fi modem and the cable box itself that it ran into in the house.
Yeah.
So everything looked okay, but a day or two later, particularly if I'm watching Sling TV, I get this little square that starts to rotate. Wi-Fi is out. My grandkids go through the roof because they're playing games and what have you, and everything cuts out. So just a couple of days ago, I called Spectrum back. I came out, put all the necessary boxes on all the cables, you know, checked them for, signal, you know, check for resistance in the wire. But then I kind of got this song and dance that said, you need to learn to live with this and expect it no matter what you do, because cable is going to buffer and, Wi-Fi is going to buffer. But up until about 6 or 7 months ago, I never had that issue. So I don't buy that. Help.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's start with a couple of things. First, do you have your own Wi-Fi router, or are you solely using the one from Spectrum?
Right now I'm using Spectrum. I used to have the Apple, but when the Spectrum went to 500 down, 20 up, I purchased that so that we could use Sunday service from my church, just streaming it up to YouTube. So right now I have everything that Spectrum gives me.
Okay. Yeah, because the first question is, it the internet going out or the Wi-Fi going out?
Right.
And do you have two boxes or one?
I think it's the internet, because I, you know, Steve, I bought my latest M1 from your shop, and I run the power and the cable signal, you know, through the box, through the power supply into the computer, and the computer dropped out in terms of cable.
Yeah.
So it's got to be cable and not Wi-Fi. So obviously, if cable drops out on the box coming in, then Wi-Fi is shot.
Right. Okay, that definitely is their problem. And that's good. That's good that you did that, because now it tells us a bunch of things about what isn't and is. Could be the problem. So, for example, it's not Wi-Fi interference from somebody else.
Yeah.
Because it's happening on your wired line as well. So one of the things that you should do is get them to change the one remaining wire, right? From your house to the pole.
Right.
In
this instance, it would be from the pole to the box on the side of the house they replaced. But then inside that box, they run another wire that comes actually into the house. They did not replace that one, and I think that ought to be replaced no matter what their analyzer says.
Well, I agree with you.
And that's a pain to replace, and that's why they don't like doing it.
Right, but that could easily be the problem. The other thing is, if it's intermittent, you got to sympathize. Intermittent problems are the worst ones to solve.
Yep, I understand.
But if it's intermittent, do yourself a favor and check what else is going on in the house. For example, we've seen people whose cable modem is on the other side of the wall from the microwave.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And even though they're hardwired, that microwave, if the microwave is not properly sealed, and many of the less expensive ones are not, they could be interfering in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to check that as well. The other thing is, I have them come out every 2 years and replace all my wiring because we have squirrels.
Squirrel?
Okay.
Squirrel in the backyard that, chew through the insulation.
And that was the problem this time. A squirrel had actually chewed through the insulation, and a couple of months before that, Frontier came out for the same problem. Turns out the problem was actually on the next block, but the squirrels had gotten in, chewed through the insulation and everything, which I didn't think they could do, but then I guess they can chew through almost anything.
Yeah. So the other thing to have them try to do is replace the box itself.
The box on the side of the house.
Well, the box on the side of the house, but also the box in the house. I'm surprised they didn't replace the box on the side of the house because I've never had a Spectrum rep come out and not complain about the idiot that put things up the last time.
Yep. Well, and usually what it is there's a problem in the box, so they go to the truck, get a new box, replace your box, put your old box in the truck.
Yeah, you're right.
And then they go to the next person, and they go to the truck, they get a box. That's probably your old box.
I'm sure they don't do that.
Don't say it, Steve. Don't say it.
I'm sure they don't do that.
You may want to go to the Spectrum store and get a new box yourself.
Yeah. All right, we have to take a break, I'm afraid. Do you want to keep talking about this? You can stay on the line. Oh, he's gone. Okay. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 28 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. Come on back. We'll be here.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Rank.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 35 minutes the hour, he keeps waiting
for Dave. Yes.
But we are Soundbites, and we have Ed from Ithaca, New York on the line. What's up, Ed?
Hi, guys. I'm calling about a iTunes issue. I have an iPhone 7 that I use as an iPod. Only thing I use it for is for listening to podcasts that I've downloaded. And when I connect it to my MacBook Air, it is not syncing. Well, no, it is syncing, but it just seems to be filling up with space in the green bar, which is data or something. I'm not adding any podcasts. It's when I sync it doesn't eliminate all of that. So what the issue is and how to correct it, because I'm afraid it's going to get totally full soon.
It's something in your sync settings. You need to turn on a setting to delete a listened or watched podcasts, whether it's an audio or a video podcast. And there's another setting to automatically download new podcasts as they're released by the other end.
Well, the issue isn't that the podcasts aren't deleting. because they are. I mean, they're just showing up as MP3s, and they get deleted when I delete them. But it's getting all this filling up with other stuff that is, I don't know if you remember what it looks like, but there's a green bar at the bottom that just says data, unless that it's considering the MP3s to be data.
They could if they're not coming in as a podcast. If it's just coming in as a file, then it would be considered data.
Oh, okay.
The other thing to make sure is go through the other tabs in iTunes, movies, TV shows, music, books. Make sure anything, everything there is unchecked that you don't want to sync.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because it may be syncing things that you didn't expect it to. By default, it syncs everything. You have to go through and uncheck stuff you don't want to sync.
Okay, but I don't have anything else on there.
On the computer?
No, on the phone.
But if you do have it on the computer and you didn't tell it not to sync, it is syncing those things.
Oh, I see. So it's syncing from not just my phone itself.
Well, it syncs all the media that iTunes knows about. So it will sync your movies, your TV shows, I'm trying to get back to the list because I don't have an iPod. So I hate that iTunes is gone on newer OSs and it's now the music app. And your syncing is controlled on the desktop, but it only shows up when you have a device plugged in. So I'm trying to bring up a picture of it. But when you have your device plugged in, there are several tabs across the top of the iTunes setup where you tell it what other media that you want to sync, including music and books and files and other things. So if you don't uncheck those, they are syncing and could be part of that data line that you're seeing.
I see. Okay, I'll give it a try.
Yep, no problem.
All right, thanks.
I just ran into an update into the way the iTunes podcast store works, where Apple added paid subscriptions to podcasts. It used to be podcasts were always free. And now people can do paid subscriptions as well. One of the podcasts I listened to, they changed it so only the last 10 episodes are free. And if you want to go back older than that, you have to pay. Well, I'm behind a couple of months on my podcast because there's so many of them I listen to. And suddenly they're gone and it says subscription only because they only get the
right
10 for free.
Right.
So I got to jump forward. And now so I try to listen to the oldest ones first because they talk about the last episode. So now I got to rethink how I listen to my podcast. Do I do just the newest ones first? And then when they reference something from last week, I won't know what they mean.
Right. But only for 1 week.
Well, yeah.
Assuming you're keeping up.
Right. That's the problem, is trying to keep up. Now I have such a short commute now that I don't keep up with all of them.
Spend more time in the bathroom.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's when you get home and you wait in the car for the end of that episode instead of going into the house.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dennis? Dennis?
Push the button, Rob.
No, I think he's gone.
Okay.
No, he didn't wait. Sorry. Give us a call back if you can. Looks like he's calling back. See, Rob hasn't had to run the board in a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
There's a lot of buttons.
If you're on the line, please be patient. We're trying to take everybody.
No, I got it. I got it. It's good. I think Dennis should be there now. Dennis, you there?
Dennis?
Dennis. Okay, I don't know where Dennis keeps going. I really don't.
Who we got now?
Is there anyone on the line?
They hung up.
Nobody's on the line. All right. We'll.
When Rob goes to transfer you, the air might sound like you're dead air, but wait, because you're on hold.
All right, now theoretically, we have Jim from Fairport.
Jim?
No, David from Leroy.
David!
All right, we got somebody at least.
Yeah, we got somebody.
Yeah, we don't care who we got as long as we got somebody. That's the important part right there. Okay, David, what's up?
Well, you're making me feel really special. Well, first of all, I wanted to let you know I just finished attending or was just at the Rochester electric vehicle show at RIT.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, how was that?
Oh, fan-freaking-tastic. I'm any week now, I'm waiting to get my new Bolt EUV.
Oh, and, I'm so jealous. Yep.
Oh, well, I just finished paying off a student loan in March, so, you know, I need to get something.
Yeah, you don't want to be debt-free.
I want to be debt-free. Exactly. But, no, I'm thinking forward. Anyway, Nick, just so you know, one guy there thought I was you, so that, you know, it goes
to show
you. Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Well, no, he knows beauty when he sees it. That's all I
can say. There you go.
Anyway, I've been thinking, I mean, I've been doing a lot of reading on EVs, and I think of them, the more I read, as kind of like computers on wheels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got to kind of think about, you know, the future servicing of the vehicle and how it's going to evolve like a computer.
Right.
And knowing that if I get a 2023, which I am, then in 4 or 5 years, there'll be something that eclipses the technology in what I have. But from what I can tell from owners of this particular vehicle, even as far back as 2017, the track record is excellent. Like, there's one guy that's got 300,000 miles on it. You know, the battery's fine.
There's fewer things that can go wrong with less moving parts. But the same thing is the same thing about a computer on wheels is true of combustion engines. The days of looking under the hood and fixing something yourself are rapidly falling away.
Yeah, I've heard really, really good things about the Bolt, both the EV and the EUV.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting the EUV, and I'm getting a red one because I'm up in age, and I don't think that I've never had a brand new car, and it's going to be red. And
good
blah,
for
blah,
you.
Blah.
Nice.
Well, you just said you paid off your student loan, so you must be in your high 70s.
Is it Hello Officer Red?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that, well, I don't know. An EV is not quite a Lawrence Welk vehicle, but it's not exactly a hot rod Tesla either. So
right.
You know, I don't know if they're going to be pulling me over if I'm driving. It can only go 95, all right?
Right. It can only go 95, but you can get up to 60 in a second and a half. So
yeah.
You want to be a little careful.
And if I want to eat my battery up, yeah, I can go that fast.
Yeah.
But chances are not. I commute to school. It's about which is my job. It's about 52 miles one way. So, you know, everyone's saying, oh, you should have plenty.
Yeah, you should. It's getting you, what, a couple hundred miles off of that battery, a couple, 250?
Yeah. Now, I just read about someone that with an original Prius had their battery replaced, and it was $15,000. But it's 15 years old. So that's, you know, $1,000 a year for your battery pack. For a gasoline engine, you'd pay a lot more than that.
Right.
That's something you do have to keep in mind. How long you're going to keep it, and when do you get the need to get the battery replaced?
Right. Congratulations, David. That's absolutely great. I'm afraid we got to move on. People have computer questions, but good for you. I'm insanely jealous, and I hope you have keep us informed. I hope you have just massive luck with that thing. Our next, I love my Cube, but the Bolt EUV has caught my eye.
I think the Volt was one of the first electric vehicles that actually looked nice before the some of the Tesla. Yeah, the Chevy Volt. Yeah, that was the car. I got to drive a Tesla Model Y that one of our customers had, and that was interesting. Really weird, the regenerative braking. So you let up on the gas pedal, and it immediately starts to brake.
Yeah.
So you have to train yourself differently, that you don't coast up to the stop sign before you hit the brake.
Right.
You stay on the gas longer.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dennis?
This is for Steve. I have an iPhone SE second generation 2020. I've had it from Spectrum for about 6 months. The past 2 months, whenever I call from my mobile, which I'm not calling on right now, to any landline, whether it's a POTS, you know, plain old telephone service landline, or whether it's, you know, like a Spectrum line like that I'm calling you on right now, I get clicking. They don't hear it at the other end. All they know is they're getting cut off periodically. It's like a two-way radio, and I'm, you know, and so I talked to Spectrum. They had me redo my network settings on the cell phone. They reset the service from their end. They told me to take out my SIM card and clean it, and I did that. And I'm at a loss as to what that would be from. And then I have another question for you after that on the cell phone.
What version of iOS are you running?
I'm running the 16.02, but I had that.
So that's the O2 patch. Yeah, that O2 patch is supposed to fix it.
Did you download the patch?
Yes, I did, and it didn't fix the clicking. Is that a Spectrum thing or is that a Verizon network thing? And who's responsible for it? Or is my cell phone? Do I need to reset my whole cell phone from scratch?
One of the things you can try easily is move your SIM card to someone else's phone.
Ah, okay.
And if the problem moves, then it's either the cellular system or the carrier system. And then you have to fight between them two to see who can blame. But if the problem doesn't move to the new phone, then it's in your physical phone. And the first step is erase, and don't restore. Set up as new.
Okay.
See if the problem comes back. Then you can erase it and restore your stuff and see if the problem comes back.
Okay.
And if it does, there's something in your stuff, and that makes it harder to diagnose.
Okay.
But that's the next step.
Yeah.
All right. Since my phone updated to iOS 16 and it did not improve with iOS 16.0.2, is I have one app that I use for work, and when I sign in, I can pull up some information from work, pages, and I used to be able to take my fingers and make the print larger or smaller. It won't allow me to do that now. Page disappears immediately, and I'm not sure whether that was. I think that happened when we went to iOS 16, but it has not improved with iOS 16.02, and it's just with one app.
Which app is it?
Well, it's something called Sims, capital SIMS.
The game?
No, the
people simulator?
No, it's if I'm at a customer location working on their fire alarm system and I need to look at what Central Station is getting, what kind of codes they're getting, if I'm sending in the proper codes or whether the Central Station is not getting it, that's what I look at as I look at the sheets that Central Station has. But what's getting transmitted to Central Station? And I can't. The print is so small, I always need to make the print a little bigger, or I need to tip the phone. If I tip the phone, the page disappears. If I touch it with one finger, I can move the page slightly, but anything else, the page just knocks me right out of the app.
That sounds like an app problem. It may not be completely compatible with iOS 16. There are settings in Universal Access to make all of the text larger on every screen. You could try that to see if that. So then it's too big on other screens, but that screen works.
Okay. All right.
But I would say it does sound like an app issue, and they should be able to update their app.
Okie doke. Hello?
All right. Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah, if it's one specific app that isn't doing a fundamental thing, it's probably that app. And Pinch and Zoom is a pretty fundamental thing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Fairport, New York. Hi, Jim, what's up?
Hi. I have a Samsung tablet. It's an S5A that I got from Verizon. And I've left Verizon. And it's not updating because I guess the updates went through Verizon.
Right.
Is there a way to get back to Samsung or?
It depends on the tablet. Many of them, this is a problem. You have the people who make the tablet, the people who make the operating system, the people who make the connection. And all of them, you know, want to be the big dog and be the last one to mark the tree. So if you've got this thing on Wi-Fi, you should still be able to get the. I'm assuming this is a an Android tablet.
Yes.
Yes. You should still be able to get the Android updates directly if you're on Wi-Fi. You may have to go in and do that manually, and that's under settings, and depends on the version of Android you've got. It could be under system, but you should be able to search for updates, and it will lead you to it.
That's when I found out that it wasn't the other end wasn't answering, so it must be directed to Verizon.
Yeah, you might if you've turned off Wi-Fi entirely and actually turned it off in the system rather than just no longer have a Wi-Fi connection. If you've actually mm-hmm. turned it off, then it should default to Wi-Fi. And if it doesn't, then it sounds like they've locked it somehow. And you'd yeah. have to take the tablet to somebody and have them actually look at it to see what could be done next.
I haven't called Verizon about yeah. it. I guess that's the next step.
Yeah, sorry. I am sorry.
It's a nice tablet. Thanks.
Yep, good luck. Yeah, we see that fairly often when you buy a generic tablet that doesn't have a cellular service.
Mm-hmm.
It all happens over Wi-Fi, and then it's strictly Google and whoever made your tablet. But when you do it through a carrier, that not only adds another level, but they often lock you down because they don't want you leaving with their stuff.
Generally, they give you a hefty discount on the tablet for signing up for their service.
Right. And so when you leave, they don't want to just give you a free tablet. So they lock it down. And you might be able to reformat the entire tablet, do a complete reset, as Steve was just talking about with the iPhone. You can also do that with the Android tablet. Again, in the menus, you go down to system, you can do a full reset, and that takes it back to new, and then you sign on with your username and password. And theoretically, at this point, if you sign on with your Google username and password, and you were signed on with your Google username and password before, all of your stuff will come back. But if you're going to try that, the first thing to do is to back up everything. Don't just assume it's in the cloud already. Don't just assume it won't disappear. The reality is that you don't have enough backups. I don't care how many you've got. You don't have enough. So get those backups done and verify that backup before you wipe out your tablet. Now, if you're lucky, it will then come back without the Verizon stuff in it. If you're not lucky and they really dug into the BIOS, the chip itself, then you do have to take it to Verizon to see if there's some way that they will free it up so that it just becomes a tablet that works on Wi-Fi. I'm sorry, I wish I had a better answer for you, but that's, you know, one of the things, as Steve said, one of the things you get as a benefit is an awfully inexpensive tablet. But that often means they've locked you in. And with that lock-in, getting unlocked is either very difficult or not possible. So I would absolutely suggest that the first thing you do is take it to Verizon, the Verizon store, and see what they say.
Yeah, That's the discount you get for buying it from Verizon. But if your Verizon, like it was a 2-year contract is up, they should be able to release that device for other carriers. And that's what you may need to have them do. It may not happen automatically.
Right. So taking it into them is the thing to do because they may have a lock somewhere in their system.
Yeah.
And then it has to be unlocked. But if it's in the tablet itself, that's a separate issue, and you know they may need to make a connection so that they can break the connection so that you can move on. Or, you know, honestly, they may just tell you that you're stuck. That's the way it is. It's our device, and we don't release it.
Yep.
You bought it inexpensively, and there you have it. I don't know. There's always a catch-22. Always. Which is why for years I've bought either refurbished tablets or, like I said, the inexpensive ONN tablet, which works, by the way, great. You may be in the market for a new tablet, and I'm sorry, but that may be a thing that happens next. Too bad. Too darn bad. That's all I have to say about that. All right.
The trade-offs we assume.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's it. That music tells us that we are done for another week. And Rob's thinking, not a moment too soon.
No, I've had fun. This has been fun. It brings me back to the old days.
Yeah, it
old
does.
Old days.
Yeah, the old days.
That's right. That's right. No, it's a lot of fun. I appreciate being able to come by today.
We had a great time. As you probably figured out, Dave Enright, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest. Rob Linton stepped in and did yeoman service here. He remembered how to run his own board, which
is it took a minute.
Kind of amazing.
You see, we don't do phone calls on the jazz shows, you see.
Right, I realize that.
So it took me a little while to figure out where that button was. Eeny, meeny. DJ Eeny, meeny.
Eeny, meeny job.
That's right.
Standing there just poking buttons, waiting a second. What happened? Try it again. With Dave Enright, I'm Nick Francesco. No, with Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.